6217, these relate to Northern States Power Company's rental property billing, both for gas and electric, those tariffs. A short background, the commission approved this a number of months ago, and in that order where we approved this particular vacant property tariff, we put in that there should be a six-month review. After 6 months, it needed to be, NSP needed to file a status report on the implementation and effectiveness of the tariff. And so Xcel did file that with us on August the 24th of 2007. And we've all had a chance to review that and to look at it. Also in preparation for this meeting today, Tom Rafferty, who handles our customer contacts, on Wednesday, August 29th, he sent us out a document that indicated complaints that he was aware of at that time regarding Xcel's energy vacant rental tariff. And there were three that he attached at that time. And then today, he provided for us a summary of complaints, Xcel's energy billing of vacant rental property, and this has been prepared by him for our meeting today. Now, before we get any further, let's again have everyone introduce themselves who's participating in these two particular hearings. I'm Commissioner Wiewald, welcome.
Kevin Kramer, welcome.
Tony Clark, good afternoon, welcome.
All right, Commission staff first.
Tom Rafferty, Commission staff.
Patrick Fon.
Alana Jeffcoat-Sackle.
Mike Diller.
All right, and then we have with us from the public today, would you identify yourself for the record?
Tyler Engberg, property owner.
And you are from?
Fargo, North Dakota.
All right, thank you, Mr. Engberg, for participating today. And then from the company, we have a representative with us today, and then we also have someone participating by phone.
Dave Cedarquist, Xcel in Fargo.
Joel Lewiston in Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
All right.
John Barchnick out of Minneapolis.
Liza Horner in Centerpoint Customer Advocate.
Jameson Houston, Centerpoint in Roseville, Minnesota.
We have had trouble hearing the last two people as you identified yourself, so if when you speak later you could speak up, that would help, all right? And then we also have a reporter here sitting in today on the meeting as well. Okay, all right, then let's proceed, and we'll go first to Xcel Energy.
Okay, well, thank you, Commissioner. I'm going to just begin by making a few general comments regarding our effort to roll out this tariff and more specifically to build a database of property management information regarding their selection of how they would like to have tenant change billings occur. But I think the commission and staff will be quite interested in also hearing from Joel Lewiston. And Joel is going to talk about an effort that he's leading in the company in response to feedback that we've gotten from property managers on this, on basically our day-to-day handling of property management issues and tenant change issues. So there's kind of a really neat pilot project that he's leading up that I think fits right into this discussion. And then also Liza Horner is available here to provide any more specific status information on these four complaints that the commission has received. So I think that's kind of how we'll just start out here. The effort that we found out to formally standardize our process of billing for vacant rental properties and to designate and to document the options that property managers are selecting in terms of their billing options has been nothing really short of sort of a Herculean effort. I think it's become a little bit bigger than what we had first envisioned. We've worked quite a long time on the process of communicating out to the owners that we know of that we are in the process of updating our system, and we need their selection. It's an important point or an important piece of information that they need to provide us. At this point, we've We've received responses from about 77% of our population of property owners that we're aware of. We think that's not too bad, but it's required a lot of work. Let's see.
Is that 77% in North Dakota or system-wide?
Yeah. Yeah, this is, I'm speaking of North Dakota.
And is North Dakota the only state that's rolled this out yet at this point, or is it going on in your total system?
We have a tariff in Texas as well, similar. So North Dakota and Texas are our only states where the tariff is formally in place.
Okay, thank you.
It's proposed in Minnesota and Wisconsin, or?
I'll have to defer that question on the status of the Minnesota.
I guess I'm just curious about the NSP region.
Yeah. For the most part, North Dakota and Texas have the formal tariffs in place, and we're moving as quickly as we can to accommodate those tariffs. As far as how the other states are lined up, John, do you have any information on that?
Yes.
Okay.
This is John Bartunek. I'm on the road, so I'm sorry if I'm cutting off. Minnesota has been pulled, but it's going to be getting back on. So we're going to be looking at refiling that sometime later this year. New Mexico has been filed late this summer.
Okay. So we're gradually rolling it out in our various
in
states.
Other words, you're learning from North Dakota.
Well, we were just very pleased at how quickly we were able to get the process completed in North Dakota, and so it's kind of put us at the front end. Actually, in Minnesota, we had this tariff filed previous to it, and it ran into all kinds of issues, and so it kind of bogged down, and North Dakota ended up passing it up. So we find ourselves kind of right on the cutting edge here of getting this program out. But, we are learning as we go. There's no doubt about it. And again, Joel will be able to share some of what we've learned from our customers and how we're reacting to it. We, as I mentioned, we're about 77% of the way of getting total population of owners designated with either their automatic turn on or their lock out. I had some. I was going to share these printouts here. These are the letters that we used to notify our property managers. They're not stapled, so need to kind of keep them. The first two pages are the initial mailing that we sent out, as we discussed in our status update letter filed previously. The last page is the reminder card, or a copy of the reminder card that was sent out subsequently. We've also made attempts to contact owners by phone. We've left voicemail messages, and so we've made kind of quite an effort to contact them. You may recall that the tariff requirements are that we give them 15 days from the time that they're notified to get back to us. Well, we've kind of gone well beyond that. We've been working this continually because we understand that, you know, there could be some real issues if we've got a number of property owners who are going to be defaulted to a lock situation, that could create some real concerns. And actually, as we as we look ahead now, that would have to, if I was to sort of indicate to you, the commission staff, what we see out there as a potential concern, it's just that we still have 23% of the owners that we haven't yet heard from. So we indicated in our letter to you earlier that we were shooting for a September 30th date. We would probably say at this point that we'd like to at least leave that option open to reconsider that date. We're thinking about the possibility of making another run here with another mailing or calling, perhaps on a more local level, but just trying to see what we can do to kind of pare that number down and get everyone the opportunity to make their selection. So I guess if the commission and staff have no real concerns about that date, letting it extend out a little bit longer, That's an option that we'd like to keep open at this point.
Does anyone at the table have a copy of the order that the commission issued in regard to this? I have the tariff file, and so I have the tariff filing that was the tariff that was filed in conjunction with this case, but I don't have the order with me, and so if someone does, I'd like to just look at that a moment.
Let's see if I've got that here.
Got the motion and the explanation sheet.
Did we have an order, or did we just approve the tariff?
I bet we just approved. I move the commission to approve NSP's gas rental property tariff, billing tariff.
Yeah. Well, then where? And then when did we?
Conditioned upon review of the tariff status report to the commission after the tariffs have been in effect for 6 months.
Okay. All right. Thank you. That's
and
why
I assume
I
the electric one's the same.
All right. Thank you.
Are there any questions about the update letter that we had sent earlier, or just any of the information that I've just updated you with now? Because I think it might be helpful to let Joel talk about the process that we are working on to handle these day-to-day calls, unless Tyler or someone has a question.
Is this the current form?
Yeah, that looks like the current form.
Okay.
Yep.
Mr. Engbert, if you can just wait a few minutes, then we're going to get to you officially, okay? Mm-hmm. Allow you plenty of time to share your concerns and anything you wish to share with the commission. Before we get to that point, I want to just find out whether there are any, the commissioners have any questions about the owner-landlord response, the postcards that have been filed, et cetera. I know that you had told us at the time we held the hearing that you would be doing an extensive effort to reach out to people so that people were not surprised about the default mechanism, and it looks to me like you're making a good faith effort to do that, especially if you're going to extend it beyond now, September 30th, when there's still 23% of the landlords out there who haven't responded.
And you may recall that we also said earlier that, you know, unless and until we get that authorization from the owner to allow us to let the electric charges move from the tenant to the owner, we won't do that. And so that's why the LOD option is our default option.
Right.
It's still kind of a concerning situation because literally I believe it's still 100% of the responses that we have gotten in have all chosen the automatic
option. I was going to ask about
that. It does appear that the majority of the concerns we've received in writing, at least, tend to be more on the procedures that Excel has in place and kind of some of the customer service handling type issues, more so than outright opposition to having to make a choice under a tariff.
And that's kind of why we have Joel on hand here to talk a little bit about more about that part of things there.
Okay, let's do that now. Mm-hmm.
Joel, would you like to?
That's what we have received a number of complaints about. Mm-hmm.
Would you like to talk about that, Joel, now?
Certainly. I'll give you a brief description, and then I guess we'll just open it up for questions. It's really the pilot effort that we're beginning, that we've just actually begun on Tuesday, the 18th, yesterday. For 500 owners across our service territory, across our entire territory, including North Dakota, is really unrelated to the BVRP filing or tariff at all. What we did was we brought in property management customers and listened to what they had to say, and I'll just give you a quick couple of bullets about some of the things that they had to say, and then I'll tell you what we did in response to trying to design this pilot. So what we heard our customers say in large part is they don't want to call us. They have other things that are far more important in their day-to-day than dealing with a lot of the energy matters or billing stuff. When they do call us, they want to talk with somebody who understands their business. And then they said they'd like to talk to the same person if possible. And I'm going to read you a quote from a particular person that I thought encapsulated this, the meaning of this statement very well. And that is that the same problem to someone new is a new problem to a different person. In other words, if I call in and talk to someone now and then I call back and I get somebody different, then it's like a new problem. And then the final thought I'll leave you with is, because they don't have a positive way of telling if we've completed the changes that they've requested, they end up needing to call us every month just to verify that the things that they have requested have actually been completed. And that's a call that's really not productive for them, and it's not productive for us either.
Right.
So those are some of the things we heard when we talked with our customers about that. So what we did was we designed a pilot, and again, it's for 500, you know, specific customers, and let me give you the kind of the general description of those customers. There are 500 customers that are property management customers or owners of property management that have 25 or more premises within their control, and some have thousands. And the reason we did that was because, you know, it's a better point for both of us. They're a group that has more complicated billing set up. Oftentimes, they're more in need of automatic turn-on options and things like that, et cetera.
Are all... I have a question for you as you're going along here. These 500 specific customers, do they encompass all property management that have 24 or more under their control, or is it just select out of that group?
It's. I think the best way to describe that is 500 out of 4,833 that we have across our territory.
Out of 33 who would meet that guideline, who have 25 or more properties under their control, 4,833?
Yes, and at least one ATO.
And at least one?
Automatic turn-on. Agreement with us.
Okay.
And please, you know, if somebody has a question, you know, stop me and jump right in.
Okay, thank you.
So what we looked at was, you know, the BVRP tariff that's out there is really designed to try and update a database. Can you hear me?
Yeah. It sounds like a toilet flushing, but that's okay.
So we basically, we looked at the landlord agreement, the BVRP piece as a separate item, and the things that we heard from our customer really dealt with the day-to-day call volume, fax, and email volume. And so we basically designed this pilot, got these 500 customers, and we're in the process right now. We sent out 100 letters last week that hit by Saturday or Monday of this week, and we began taking calls on this pilot. We're putting out another 200 letters to 200 additional customers within that 500 actually drops today, and then the additional 200, the remaining 200, will drop within 1 week. And we've got resources that are dedicated behind a separate dedicated line that hopefully will give this relationship that they need the ability to talk to the same person again. And a concentration on their effort. We've also done some specific training on, you know, what property managers go through on a daily basis to try and, you know, keep their properties filled, rented, maintained, you know, and everything else that they have to do on a daily basis.
How long would this pilot last?
It's designed to be 4 months. We're going to wrap it up in mid-January, and we're going to evaluate it at that time. So it's not guaranteed to go forward. We do believe that it's the right way of handling this customer.
You believe it's the right way of handling this customer, but you don't know whether you're going to continue the program after January?
Well, and I think we have the responsibility to all the ratepayers in this case to make certain that it's cost-effective. So that's going to be one of the litmus tests for this. Is, you know, it'd be great if everybody could have a personal representative and things like that, but we have to make certain that we're being fiscally responsible. So we believe the approach is right. Now we have to hone that approach, and we've got some things planned as well. You know, some things like a technological approach to trying to give feedback to owners or property managers that have faxed in tenant changes or phoned in tenant changes. We're trying something which we're going to pilot as well during this time, which is called proactive premise notification, which is an email that would come out daily that would let that owner know if any of their premises under their control had changed hands. So in other words, if they had called in a tenant change for one tenant going out and an another one coming in on the 1st of September, you know, whenever that tenant change was processed, we would send them an email then, letting them know that that who was there, who is there now, and the effective date of when it took place, so that they wouldn't have to call us to be certain of what the status was.
And we're going to do that electronically now?
That's correct. That's the proposal at this point. We're piloting it with a single landlord at this time, and then we're going to be rolling it out to the balance of these 500 pilot customers.
And how long will the pilot be with the one landlord?
Well, what we're doing is, obviously, this is something where it's a technological query that pulls from our system, and we're basically nailing that down to make certain we've got what we want in there and nothing else. It probably will be another week before we're ready to go to the rest of the people.
Okay, but then once you go to the 500 specific customers, how long will the pilot last?
It's still the 4 months at this point.
Just 4 months?
Yep. Okay. We expect that we'd be able to measure the effect. We've got some things queued up as far as a satisfaction survey with 100 completes within the 500 people that we're going to be serving in this pilot. And then we've got a 100 completes in the group that's not served by this pilot, that's served in the standard way that we're doing now.
Mm-hmm. And you're going to, how are you going to measure the difference between the two?
Well, actually, we're using the same Voice of the Customer transaction study that we typically use. And the responses will give us the determination of whether or not it's effective.
Okay, so you're going to be actually making a phone call to these people?
Yes, that's
after correct. They finish their transaction?
That's correct.
Uh-huh. Okay, and then on so these two pilots, the one more electronic communication rather than phone calls, and identifying specific agents of NSP to deal with specific customer questions that relate to landlord, tenant, vacant property rentals. That's what you're proposing to handle, address the complaints the commission's received and that you have received about this.
I don't know, restate that, if you would, please.
Are these the two efforts that you're making to address the complaints that Excel has received regarding the system to date and that the commission has received to date on this particular these tariffs?
As I stated in the beginning, the pilot to try and serve our customers in a fundamentally different way as far as residential property management customers was not based on the four North Dakota complaints. In fact, I didn't see those until yesterday. This was an effort that was started several months ago because, in general, we were hearing and we believed that there was a fundamentally different way we could serve the customer. So, you know, it's not really in response to the BBRP thing in North Dakota.
This is Dave again. Are there any other items other than the proactive premise notification and using the same reps? Are there some other new things that are being tried within the group that you haven't mentioned yet?
Well, I think I probably encapsulated it all in a short amount of time, but the fact that we've provided training on some of the things that happen in the day-to-day life of a property manager and why they would want to not have to take their time when they're managing multiple properties, multiple units, to have to follow up on a call with us. You know, we're in the energy business, you know, we're obviously very important to them, but we're one of those things that oftentimes they would like to have little interaction with on a day-to-day basis. So.
Joel, just real quick, this is Tony Clark. Could you go over that proactive premise concept again? I was making some notes, and I'm not sure that I caught the whole.
Well, and what we're and again, this is right now is a pilot, you know, and it started literally yesterday. So basically what we've got is if you've got an owner agreement with us, you've got an owner number, that owner number then is related to a series of premises or physical addresses. What we're doing is we're checking our database to say, has anything here changed hands? In other words, either from tenant to tenant or tenant to landlord or landlord to tenant today. We're pulling those down into a file. Those will then get put into a table and then sent out to that landlord and a email address that they've given us. So in essence, that's really it. If they get an email a day that would say, hey, 520 Fifth Street changed from, you know, John Smith to Paul Davis as of 9/1.
Would you
when,
be,
as
ahead.
Far as far as landlords themselves interacting with Excel, does it make sense to have that more automated so that landlords, if they chose to, could go to a web-based product where they could input changes in that manner as opposed to? And it sounds like a lot of the contacts that we're getting is sort of paperwork-oriented. They just don't like the amount of paperwork and the delay that it takes. And granted, you'd still have to have that option for people to do it that way if they want. But what about more kind of web-based interaction with?
I think long-term that's exactly where this goes. In fact, on the proposal to get this pilot going, that was certainly our statement, is that all of the understanding and the learnings from this would be wrapped into a web self-serve tool eventually. But you know, that's significant dollars and a significant time away, and we didn't feel like waiting for that would help in the shorter term with some of the things that we thought we could improve customer service-wise. So I do agree with you. I mean, I completely agree that there are a lot of things that if I could, as a landlord, dial up Excel Energy's website and then check my properties myself and see if they were changed, that would take care of a lot of that. So long term, I think that is part and parcel of the
Can you send us in writing the description of the email initiative and also the one for the 500 specific customers out of 4,833 that relates to new representatives to handle their calls?
I'm certain that we can do that.
That would be good because, for example, Tom Rafferty, who takes calls from customers, it would really be helpful for him to be able to have something in writing that he can either send to people who may be involved with either of these programs who are trying to understand them better, or for us to just be able to assist in knowing how people are trying to be helped and be able to describe the pilot effort that NSP is making. You know, I, for one, would like to have a report in mid-January after those 4 months about how this is going and your recommendations of whether you're planning to continue. It seems to me if you have 500 people who needed more assistance and it helps them to have a direct one person or two people, whatever the number is, that deal with these things on a regular basis, rather than getting a new person every time for 4,833, I'd just be very interested in your evaluation process of that.
Let me ask about, this is probably a basic question. I've just sort of forgotten since we had our hearings on this, which I suppose almost a year ago now, something like that.
It was in the fall. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Primarily, are we dealing with landlords themselves contacting Excel and interacting with the utility, saying, hey, I've got an opening here, a tenant moved out, and that's where the contact comes, or is it that the renter is contacting Excel and shutting off the service and the landlord doesn't know until sometime later that that's happened? How does that transaction where, there's a date certain where something's getting transferred to somebody else, who initiates that typically? Is that the landlord or the tenant?
Could be either.
Go ahead from Excel.
I said it could be either.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, does one cause more trouble than another, or?
Well, I think the and you've got a perfect person there to talk to in the property manager. But I think you know even within that, every property manager does not handle things differently, or doesn't have handle the things the same. So in other words, if one person leaves it up to the tenant to call in and the tenant fails to, that can cause problems. If the tenant calls in and says, I'm moving out today, and yet the landlord has a lease to the end of the month, there's another problem. And so our thought is that if we can give them some indication that a premise is there's activity and it's changing hands, that they'd be in a better position. We still as Xcel Energy don't want to be between those two, because really that's their transaction between the lease and the tenant, mm-hmm. the landlord and the tenant.
I think you recall, too, in our tariff, along with this sign-up process for ATO and LOD, we also kind of introduced those other two tools, the authorization to start and the authorization to stop, and that was an attempt to try to get more
communication.
Yeah, correlation going between the.
Yeah, I mean, I can see how it's a problem for both landlords and Xcel. I mean, as someone who represented a part of the city of Fargo and did a lot of door-to-door campaigning in an area where there are a lot of renters, I mean, I can tell you it's tough to know who's where at any given time. It's very fluid, and it's a challenge. I understand the concern on everybody's part.
I think it's time now for us to ask Mr. Engberg if he has any comments he would like to share with the commission.
Well, I asked Dave if this was the current form, and indeed it is. There are two forms. They're nearly identical. One says start. One says stop. And when I first got the forms, I was a little disappointed that I had a new bureaucratic function, but I thought, you know, I'll just try this. Mm-hmm. So I went out and I printed about 125 of each and put it in my files. About a month later, I had a new tenant. We signed both sides of it, took care of it, and faxed it together. I'm going to err on the side of that was too soon. The program was in its infancy. I think the fax machine at both ends worked. It's just that when we called for verification, process was sluggish because I have to review my personal account in Eau Claire to talk to somebody about my commercial accounts. Mm-hmm. So we have to go through all that, but not in Spanish. Mm-hmm. And then when we got somebody, the issue of this was, we don't watch that fax machine. We don't care. So apparently we had faxed something into infinity. It wound up coming out in a basement of a building that wasn't being used anymore. And I quit using it. I still have these forms in stock, but I think I was too early. I think I was of the first users before they were ready to. It was pilot to pilot, and I didn't ever see this form, the reminder to hurry up and vote, because I voted right away. And so,
what date would you say that you first used the system?
Oh, gosh, early summer.
Well, actually, the company had been preparing for this since in the fall when they came to talk to us in the previous fall. So
I can't guarantee I dialed right. I can't guarantee their machine didn't run out of paper. I'm not going to just point the finger.
Yes,
Tyler,
my first
then,
attempt didn't work. I haven't used it since. We pick up the phone.
Okay.
And then we listen at Eau Claire through my personal billing information, how it is on my apartment, because everything's based on Tyler Engberg's apartment where he lives. I can't talk to them commercially. I have to go, and I'm standing there with my customer and put it on speakerphone. And this is my way of knowing that the power is going into their name. I can't give them the 800 number and say, here, mm-hmm. put this in it, and there's the address. The only knowledge I have that this happened is to hand them the phone, pick up the other phone, or use the speaker phone, and call together and do it together. And then it's done, and then I have my confirmation that it's done. But it's such a process because I get to hear about last month's payment, and, you know, I have to listen to all the phone options, and it's all about my personal use. I can't talk to somebody who's ready to deal with commercial accounts.
I see. You dial into the system. You go through the whole menu.
And the only way in, really, is to hear that the light bill at my house has been paid.
Because mm-hmm. from what I understand, I've had this complaint, too. This is Tom Rafferty. That people call in and they ask for your phone number right away. Well, if it's your house or something, you're not calling about your house. You're calling about the 10 units or 100 units you have. And I've had that complaint from somebody else, too.
It's on here, I think. It's number 3, Helen
Johnson.
I don't
know if there's a way to get around that by pushing a number or something. Or
if we could just get into commercial property, we get commercial meter fees. If we could just
this
get into
to
commercial
in 5
arena so that we could bring our situation up. But I mean, when I'm standing there with my new customer, they're going to hear that my bill is paid.
Yes, and they're also going to hear the information about your bill.
Which I don't care,
but
it's
that,
so funky.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is, because this is a commercial account that you're taking care of, not your own personal account on this.
I wonder if Joel can speak to that.
Yes.
Well, I think what you're talking about is our IVR system, which has been...
IDR is...
No, IVR, Inner Voice Response Unit. Sometimes it's called a VRU or an IVR, and there's a...
Same thing that state government has when you touch, you know.
It right. just means the menu of options you get right. when you call in. Mm-hmm.
Well,
all
actually,
right.
the menu is really a separate portion of it than the actual IVR is actually the applications that are on there where you can check your balance or make a payment.
Okay.
So there really are two distinct pieces to it. But that has actually undergone several iterations, and I guess the thing from the standpoint of the property that's, you know, Mr. Engber is calling in, I understand he's, you know, he's viewing his situation as a business, which makes sense. And it is true that if you have multiple accounts that have the same phone number on there, you may or may not be able to match as easily in there because the system doesn't know exactly how to handle that, which is something that's being worked on currently. But, you know, that's really, he's calling about a residential apartment, which is why he's being directed to the residential center.
But aren't all apartments residential?
Yeah, I think they are.
So? We're just
Tyler one just said, but not in the gas tariff. So on gas, you can go through commercial.
Well, are you
well, that's on
about
the phone
now?
Or in the bill?
I'm sorry.
Say it again.
Well, there, residential is a slang term in a tariff. Or in a code on a bill or on the telephone, residential doesn't mean residential. This is where people live. They rent an apartment. But the building, that's commercial. Mm-hmm. Except for when Al was sitting in that chair and said, oh, gas lines in front of multi-unit properties, oh, yeah. they're residential.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a slang term.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the tariffs, apparently.
Sure. But as a landlord, you view it as a commercial property.
Yes.
That makes sense.
I think this is why we, in the pilot, you know, don't make any distinctions about that. We're routing that call, whether it's about the house meter on a large apartment building, which might have a commercial rate, or whether it's one of the apartments, which is actually a residential, a residence as defined by, you know, tariffs and guidelines.
Has Mr. Engberg, have you been chosen to be a part of the pilot?
I don't believe so.
Your meeting reservation has been extended.
I'd be more aware. There's been a volley of paperwork that's gone by, and the form that I faxed in didn't work, so I just have to say no.
Do you want to be a part of the pilot?
I was wondering, if you wanted to, then you could give us an evaluation at the end of 4 months of whether you think that some of the changes that have occurred have been helpful.
I only have... 5 buildings of 4 units each. That's 20 units. I don't think I can find
you don't
the
qualify.
Traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you
I,
don't
I
qualify.
I can't be a valuable particle for that study.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, maybe we'll find out if some of the other people who have called us are a part of the pilot. Now, we've lost Dave Cederquist here.
He's calling.
He's calling. Okay.
I did have... Well, I don't know. We can have this discussion later, but I did want to touch base again, and I can't remember, Dave, if you had covered this in your comments, but one of the comments that we did get was actually, and it was the Kirk Smith comment at Grand Forks, although he poses it as being against the tariff, I think what he's saying is he doesn't like having things automatically revert to lock on disconnect. If you don't notify them, because as I read it, he says the concern is that there's a risk of disconnection in cold weather that could cause property damage, which I think is a legitimate thing heading into the winter here. I mean, if you, for whatever reason, you didn't catch, you know, the couple mailers that were sent to you, you just, you know, whatever, and you got reverted to LOD, and you didn't really realize it, then all of a sudden, you know, 2 weeks into a cold snap,
sure.
you found out that it was shut off.
And I actually, when I read that one, I was a little surprised by it because I thought, well, yeah, that is a real concern. So let's do the ATO thing and let's get this thing done with. Let's go. I mean, that's why we're doing this, to make sure that we're all clear on.
Well, and I'm wondering, how hard does XL, do you want to have that discussion now about ATO versus LOD and what are the presumption is, because heading into winter, I mean, it makes sense to talk about that. That is the concern.
Frankly, I've been wanting. We need to have that discussion because, especially since 100%, as you said, Dave, earlier, 100% of the people who made a choice have made ATO as the choice. So that, and yet I understand economically why LOD. It's a bit presumptuous to assume somebody wants to pay a bill or wants to have a service, and yet our climate is. Probably is somewhat drives that issue a little bit differently.
It does. They would need to have the natural gas on, I suppose, or their pipes would burst, et cetera.
And I think that's why we don't want to just take that September 30th date and run with it at this point.
We're
thinking of what else we can do, maybe taking another run at that, because, that would be kind of some serious.
We should this would be something we can talk about when we meet about this. We'll have a follow-up meeting on this. But, Pat, if you'll take a note, that perhaps we should ask NSP to continue, at least through the 4 months that they're doing these other pilots, to continue to reach out to people. And then see what numbers we're at by, that meeting in January or early February to see what percentage have actually responded at that time. This woman, I talked to her, too, because she manages 1,000 units in Fargo, 400 in Grand Forks, and some in Sioux Falls. So this is one of your big – this is Helen Johnson with Builders Management. She's not happy about this. She said she really preferred the old way of billing instead of everything going on one account number. I said, can you describe to me, Helen? Which I mean, she said, for example, she's got Park 36 estates. Underneath that, there's three different accounts. So she gets all the billings for under three accounts for the whole Park 36 estates. She said it's difficult sometimes to tell for sure that one specific account, I suppose, has been paid. When she sends in the whole amount, the way that she receives the billing. And she said occasionally she finds something on there that is not correct. For example, in her email to us earlier this summer in August, she said the name of one property was from Grand Forks, but the address was for a building in Fargo. So there were billing errors that were being made. Now, I know when we switched over to this that the reason we switched was because of so many problems with the old system.
I was going to say that was...
And that we were told that this new system was going to clear up a lot of the old problems and that we weren't going to have as many complaints and concerns. And that's why we set the six-month review. So, at this point, it's really a question for me about whether this is really working for Excel in clearing up problems with customers on this, or whether we've just created a different set of problems with this approach.
Joel, would you care to comment on that at all, or anyone?
I guess, I don't know what, is this the one complaint that is making you question that, or are there a ton more that aren't at this discussion then?
Well,
would you lead you to believe that there's a lot of problems with the new?
Well, I've learned over the years as a commissioner that if we receive four complaints, there's probably 40 people out there who aren't happy at least, okay? And so, therefore, and this is from an apartment owner who has a significant size of apartments. I mean, we're talking about probably 1,500 units. And so this is not one of your small people who's just running 20. She's receiving billings and having to interact with you on 1,500 units. And so then I perk up, and it's not that I don't listen to Mr. Bergquist, but I also listen to people who have large apartment complexes as well.
Sure. On the other hand, we did have a series of hearings where we had a lot of property owners who were there who said the old system isn't working, period. Right. So I do sense that we got more complaints about the old system than the new one, but it doesn't change the fact that there are problems with the new one.
But I
you
think
look surprised. Do you?
I'm stunned.
Really?
I completely clear the desk before I open my 10 or 12 envelopes. Each envelope might have one, two, or three pieces of paper. I have to staple those into specific bundles to keep them together, because if anything was to mix with the next one, it would take hours to sort it out. And so I have perfect stapled bundles with tear-off remittances, and they're the original from 2 years ago. David Cedarquist and I got together a couple of times, and it took about a year to sort out the accounts and get things coming through parallel.
Is that a result of the
new
computer
system.
The computer system or the this particular tariff?
That was more the computer, just okay. The whole new, mm-hmm. the whole new.
And sure. And I'm just referring to the tariff itself is what we had a lot of complaints about under the old tariff. Now the new computer system we know is
successful.
Yeah.
But you open each envelope with an empty desk and staple the heap of stuff that's with it to it.
Yep.
Move it over, and do it to the next. And each is a research contest.
Sure. Okay. I understand you. We're with you.
We understand the problems with the system. Well, I don't know. We understand the problems, but we know they are. There are many.
Let me ask: is to the degree that you have concerns expressed to you on something like Helen Johnson's concern, is it because of the nature of the fact that they're such a large company that it's tougher to keep track of those things? And I mean, there's probably only a limited number of companies that have that kind of size in North Dakota, probably Goldmark and Builders Management and a few others. Or do more of the concerns come from folks like Tyler, who you've got a smaller number, but you probably do this less often, so it's less...
Once a month.
Yeah, I mean, it's... Yeah. So it's maybe less automated. Maybe that's the word. Or is it
a
little of both?
I'm going to look over every bill.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I'm going to see where the money's going and what's running right and what's not running right. Uh-huh. And what's been homogenized, and I'm going to understand the bill. Goldmark, on the other hand, is probably going to send it to accounting, and their job is to pay the bill. Uh-huh. So therefore, the bill gets paid. Uh-huh. Right, wrong, or indifferent, uh-huh. And without accounting, without understanding, it becomes an incurred new cost for next year, so we have a rate increase on rents. I'm going to chase it down and fix what's wrong.
Is there anything, Liza, that you might have information-wise regarding the Helen Johnson situation?
Hi, I'm Liza. I'm a customer advocate, and I've worked with Helen, and so is Joe Tigris, who we have a specialist working with her. Since right now she is not on the pilot program that we're aware of, so we do have a specialist working with her and myself. And part of what you're saying is very true. Because of the size of the buildings or the amount of apartments that she has, it does increase some of her problems more than a smaller apartment complex. But we are certainly able to do whatever the customer wants. For example, what you were saying, Commissioner, if you have a large apartment like she does have and she's getting one bill for 100 apartments, there should be a cover sheet that lists every single unit on that front page, and it will tell what the bill is for that unit, so she knows. Granted, when she sends one check, she's adding them all up together so she doesn't have to send 100 different checks, and the assumption is that that total payment goes on that account, and that's how the process is to simplify her life and our life.
Would you call Helen today about that?
How many companies do we have of that size?
Do you have her phone? You must have her phone number.
Sure, but you can give it to me.
All right. Her business phone number is 701-237-4333.
Okay.
And you can tell her that you're calling in response to her comment to me today that she, like the old billing of where and make sure that she's getting that breakout.
Yes.
With every account.
Because there are different ways to set up the accounts, and maybe they are not set up the way that she's requesting this. One of the evils and the benefits of a computer and technology, there's multiple ways we can set up her account.
All right. Thank you, and I appreciate it.
How many,
I will do that.
How many clients would you have that would be dealing with a number that large of apartments? I mean, 1,000 apartments that they're responsible for managing. It seems like there would be a limited number in, within North Dakota, but maybe I'm misjudging that.
Does anyone have a feel for that?
I think Jamie does.
Is Jamie on the phone?
I am. Let me see if I can get that information for you.
I don't know that I need an exact. I'm just curious in the scope of things, is that...
How many of those then are in the pilot group?
I don't have the exact count in front of me. I know that there are really probably a handful in North Dakota total. And of course, that's when we say that, that's based on our knowledge of the company. If they have operations that are named different LLCs and they're not apparent to us that they're under the same ownership because of their desire to limit liability and stuff like that, then we may not understand that they're really all part of one owner.
All right. And these 500 specific customers, though, that are part of the pilot are all from North Dakota. Is that correct?
No, that is not correct. They're from across our entire service territory.
Oh, yeah. I thought they were all going to be North Dakota people.
Nope. No, only 20, I think, are from the North Dakota territory. Because what we did was we broke them out based on the percentages that we see in our normal, of all those 4,833 owners, 40% of those owners in that class are from Colorado, for instance, et cetera. And then
let me ask, would it make, but the people from North Dakota in there are going to be kind of assigned to one or a small group of people, is that right?
Correct.
So they'll kind of have an agent that they'll interact with.
Exactly.
Okay, and the reason I ask is because, our tariff is different
your
than...
meeting
Our tariff is different, it sounds like, than most other states, so it would make sense to have somebody who's very familiar with just North Dakota specifically, because with only 20 people, I mean, frankly, they may not get a North Dakota tariff question all that often. So the answer is, yeah, they'll have their own person?
Yeah, they'll be assigned to the same group, and this group design is such that most often a person would self-select and would maintain contact with one person, but if that person's gone, any of the other people in that group could handle that question.
How does this help North Dakota with its individual tariff versus all the other people who are dealing with apparently apartment problems all over your whole system?
Well, again, I think the BVRP item trying to make certain that owners are aware of the ability to have an automatic turn on or lock on disconnect really is really separate from this pilot. Now, I guess we could ask Mr. Engbert as a perfect example, if the things that we're trying to do then in the pilot, which is trying to get at how we treat these customers when they call us, contact us, et cetera, if that sounds like that's the way it'll hit the mark. But really, they're separate items.
And really, Joel, I mean, the way it could help us in North Dakota is based on the results of the pilot and based on the review of that whole process, it could conceivably be rolled out on a much larger scale.
Well, we're certainly hopeful for that.
Well, having more knowledgeable, well-trained people that are in regular communication with customers is more, seems to me to be more the issue than whether you're ATO or LOD. So we've probably confused two issues a little bit here, but clearly this rollout would be a lot easier and a lot less painful if there were well trained, intelligent, knowledgeable people.
Can you prepare a special report for the commission on the 20 accounts that are selected from North Dakota?
Maybe it'd be helpful to, just so we kind of keep it clear in our minds, can we do that at a PIE meeting? Because that's really tied into the consumer,
really is.
To
really
the new
is.
Billing, you know, that system that they've got, which we've talked about before and there's been some glitches with. And then, you know, the LOD ATO discussion is maybe a little tariff itself.
Right. I mean, the fact that if we can extend the September 30th deadline and the fact you're at 77% now, and if in 4 months you're at 97%, I mean, that's one issue. But I think Tony's exactly right. This consumer, you know, relations issues are separate.
And that transcends landlords. I mean,
yes,
that gets to
that's right.
anybody who has a concern with
it. But I think it relates to this case. And that's why I'm disappointed, because I thought that it was going to be, they were doing this pilot specifically for North Dakota customers to pick people to help them improve their service. And now I find out that's not the case, that this is for landlords all over the Excel system. That's where this 4,833 number is coming from.
The complaints, the complaints that we've seen in North Dakota are, I mean, we're seeing similar things across our service territory. So what Joel is trying to do with this pilot study is, you know, get the most effective set of customers, you know, biggest, you know, trying to see what can be done with our largest customers. So the formation of Joel's effort isn't a direct response to the tariff that we filed in North Dakota and the resulting complaints that you've logged here, the four complaints. It's more on a greater execution scale. How are we treating these property managers, and how are we executing these transactions that have to do with tenant changes? I think that is a much larger issue than the BVRP tariff, which is more of a, we need to set up a process, and here's the tariff that describes how to do that. We're working on that setting up process, and what Joel has described for us today is how we're executing.
Customer relationships.
Yeah, I mean, it's how we're executing. I mean, how we're doing in dealing with these customers.
Even if we revoke the BVRP tariff,
this issue
still have the same issue.
It's right. It's still there. Some of the rules might not be as clearly laid out without the tariff, but you have the same problems in dealing with tenant changes and how to...
And how the computer system's working to keep track of things and the billings and all of that. Okay, anything further for today? Do you have any last thoughts you'd like to share with us? We really appreciate you driving this distance to be with us.
Well, Dave and I worked together successfully about a year and a half, 2 years ago, and we did get everything to collate into parallel lines.
All right.
It was arduous, but we did it, and it came out okay. And I still carefully staple each bundle, and it used to be so simple. A short piece of paper was an account. It had an account number, a balance, and a budget, and it worked. So somebody with 1,200 of those could do it. And if they wanted to write one check, they could put a special account and put that one check in and let those draft right off of there. As it comes now, you've got to watch, you know, the carried balance. Did the check clear? And then was it credited? And then, you know, is this new balance, and I always pay early, but is this new balance the sum of last month and this month? Or was it posted internally on time?
In other words, it looks like my cell phone bill now instead of...
It's a busy time, and it's a research contest. I have 5 buildings, and sometimes I discuss a group of 3 because of a courtyard, and they're all electric with central gas water heaters. And then I have a different configuration on the other two. Mm-hmm. But
I know Liza had mentioned something about there's different ways to configure their bills. Is there a better way to configure Tyler's bill, or is
well,
it
you know, here's where we got lost, and that is it residential, or is it commercial? And that's where bills got split, so I'd have two different accounts for a given building. And then the magic begins, and as long as the conversation got us there. The big problem I have, other than the bills, and you have tariffs for this and that, but it should be stated, I have a courtyard of three fourplexes. They're under 400 square feet per unit. They're just we. The rents are about $315 a month per unit. A central gas line comes up and tees off, and the meter fee is now $30 a building. So for $90, I can buy $54 worth of gas a month, forever. And by any tariff, by any configuration, that's wrong. I don't care whether it's this way or that way, or commercial or residential.
That's a separate metering issue.
It is. It is a separate issue. But it'll come up. I'm in Bismarck this time. Mm-hmm. Paying $90 to open three envelopes for $18 each building into infinity is just bad. It's just wrong. I stopped over here to local contractors.
They don't have to have master. They can have master meter for gas, can't they?
Yeah, maybe.
We allow that. We allow master meters for gas.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I think it's for for classified residential. Then they'd be $18 a piece or whatever.
Right? Electricity.
No, they were $20 at commercial.
Electricity. That's another matter as far as master metering. Mm-hmm. But natural gas, you can have a master meter.
Okay, and we've got to talk about three-phase from Hornbacher's. So it's across the street. We got to review that.
Time for lunch again. Another lunch.
Works for me.
Okay, I'm glad you have the ear of Dave Cedarquist. What worries me is the people maybe who don't, you know,
getting
who are not able to
problem.
Sit down and have lunch with Dave Cedarquist because he just doesn't have that many lunch hours available.
Getting to Dave was a problem. Finally getting with Dave was a wonderful thing. So we'll leave it there.
Well, I'm happy that you've been able to establish that relationship. That's exactly right.
Pretty well said.
I wish I could say I knew the answer for billing problems.
Would you like us to look at a pie presentation for this pilot project in February or January or somewhere?
Yes, that would definitely be helpful.
Yeah, given enough time to both run the course and analyze it effectively, we don't want to.
And what's the 1 year date? What's the 1 year date of the tariff?
It was approved in January, I believe.
January,
but you know,
10.
The funny
that
thing
would
about
be around the 1 year.
This tariff is a little different because there's this process that has to occur before the tariff can really start to work. So just because the tariff was approved in January doesn't necessarily mean we're going now with the tariff. I mean, we have to get this done before the tariff can start to really be expected to work, and so. It's going to probably take us a year to get to a level where we can get off this signing up phase in mass and move to the execution.
Bottom line is you're going to push the date back.
Yeah, we want to revisit a plan to take one more swing. We have a list of those who haven't responded.
It'd be great if we could reach 95%, you know, instead of 77.
Yeah,
you know, that would be...
I am open to, at some point, just revisiting the idea of, especially if we have, if you're getting towards 80-85% and everyone's picked ATO, I think at some point we just make the call and say.
Yeah, that was always kind of haunting me, and yet it made logical sense, and yet, you know, if the
nice
trend
for
is,
people to have a choice.
It is.
ATO.
That's automatic turn-off.
Automatic turn-on.
So when a tenant leaves... the bill will be handled by the property owner during the vacant period.
I understand.
Automatically.
And so somebody who isn't making it in December can call you and say, because Christmas is coming, I'm leaving. And then I'll get their heat bill for $120 and they can buy a tree and more presents. Mm-hmm. That doesn't work unless ATO has a phone call and or an email.
Some kind of verification.
It already happened by the time I read it. Yeah. And that isn't right.
Although we'd still give people the option. You can still always be on lock on disconnect, which would, if you as a property owner decided, no, I'd rather, if somebody calls and wants to turn it off, then it's off. That would always be an option.
The property owner cannot reach in and deal with any information regarding my building, but their account.
Right.
And so we have privacy issues that we have to dance about there. I advise people to put themselves on budget, and when XL says it's $48, just make it $58. Just peg it high and roll. And the privacy issues, XL doesn't have the ability to blank the name and look at the last 4 years of use on that apartment. So if the last person was absentee and the bill was $11 a month, then the new budget's going to be $11 a month. And so instead of 58 right. with electric heat. So there are some issues there. But as far as I'd call it RTO, the old revert to owner.
That's similar to ATO.
Yeah, that was the automatic fail-safe so my property wouldn't freeze.
Right.
Right. That's our concern is right now lock on disconnect is the...
That's the
is
default.
The template is the default. And the concern is there may be some folks who slip through the crack in their property.
And frankly... I had one person fail their power and then leave. The lights were off. Nobody told me the power was off, but I knew it. And it's a small enough world that I know what's going on there. And then when they left, there was no power. And I really didn't have a problem with that. I took care of things and lit it up and went in and worked on it and then pulled power on it. I didn't touch your meter. I opened... my 220, so I was cold and isolated and bridged over. But so I lit it up so I could vacuum clean and polish and then open the fridge and do what I was going, and then left her blank. And I really liked that in the summer because the people coming in might promise to put the power on, but you know what? They're not going to see in the dark till they actually really do. So this would really screw up a system that barely works. RTO, or revert to owner, is great during frost months. In the summer, I'd just as soon see it go black.
You don't have an option to switch back and forth.
I wouldn't dare begin that.
I wouldn't dare. I have a. I wonder whether this could be something that would help the commission. Let's say in 6 months, like you say, the process is now coming along. You know, we're getting people signed up, et cetera. Would there be a way that you say you're doing callbacks to customers after they call in with a problem or something? Could we see the record of those for this group of customers on apartments?
Okay, this group meaning?
Meaning the apartment.
North Dakota apartment owners.
The 20 in the pilot?
No, not the 20 in the pilot.
The whole...
The population in North Dakota who's dealing with this, when someone calls in and they've got a concern and then you say you're calling them back to see was their problem addressed correctly, that obviously is being coded into your response system in some way as an apartment owner deal. Can we see that segment of responses? Can you turn that into the commission? And you could do it for a set period of time, maybe from January to March or something, and then have us be able to get that block of customer.
Okay, so let me, just to be clear, let me bounce this back. What you're asking for is if someone were to call us about an issue and regarding the tenant change,
yes,
that you would like to see a record of our response to their question and issue?
No, you told me that when you have someone call in like that, that you're doing calls back to find out how satisfied they were with their response.
Oh, okay. He's referring to our surveying process, our VOC, voice of the customer process.
Yep.
Now you would like to see those responses, those verbatim comments?
The ones that relate to...
to this issue?
To this issue from North Dakota.
That's
going to be an extremely small population because we looked for... across our territory, the ability to have the responses or property managers that were in other pre-activities on the control group, and we couldn't locate that many property manager surveys because oftentimes the tenants are calling in.
On your surveys, though, do you control for state so that you're able to compare state to state if they're, you know what I mean, so that your North Dakota responses have, you'll be able to tell if they have basically the same level of satisfaction as Minnesota responses, or do you not?
Sure, they're coded by state, but what I'm saying is, of course, it's a sample of the calls
right.
that were in there, so it's, you know, so many completes, it's statistically significant, but it's a very small sample,
sure.
and then, you know, you start looking at that, then from that small sample, how many are property management customers calling about that particular item? I don't think there'd be anything that would be statistically significant about that, but you could talk with our people in research, Dave, and find out.
Yeah, let's see what we can do along those lines.
Because it would be only for the 20 people.
Right, and you understand what he just said, that
mm-hmm.
when we're surveying, we're not calling every single transaction.
Right.
We're calling a sample of the customers who transacted with us.
I see.
So that
too
makes
expensive
it
to do them all, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But we can go back and see what kinds. I think what you're asking for is verbatim comments
mm-hmm,
and regarding the survey or regarding this type of activity and transaction.
Right.
So, and even if it was across our whole service territory, it might still be beneficial for you.
Well,
to
no,
see.
Because they're using a different system. They're not using this new tariff.
John Bartunek.
Well, the. Okay. All
right.
Technically, yes.
Yeah.
They don't have the same.
They don't have the same.
But I think our service levels and our process is intended to be very similar across all the states. So it would be a good proxy for the commission to see what kinds of comments are coming from anywhere, actually.
Again, that's more of a pie issue than the tariff issue.
But that, yeah, we might be able to build an entire high meeting around
yeah.
this kind of thing, so
okay.
we can look into that.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks everyone on the phone.
Thank you.
We do not need perhaps a work session on this then afterwards.
Revert to owner.
Because we told them what we'd like, they're going to
on
submit.
On the RTO, if a tenant wants to leave in December and rip you off by
get people into
having the bill land in your lap, that can happen.
System.